I'm Afshin Ratansi and welcome to Going Underground, broadcasting all around the world from the heart of the Middle East, where Donald Trump's Foreign Minister, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, appears to be here to sell the ethnic cleansing of Palestine. That is, the Arab world, including where I'm speaking to you from, rejects the plan, continuing to support a two-state solution for the Palestinians. While Trump's $7 billion of US aid in the form of mass civilian killing 2,000-pound bombs for Israel reaches Netanyahu, the president has at least opened the Pandora's box of US AID, used when it was too complex for the CIA to destabilize governments around the world. Joining me from the US Capitol, Washington, D.C., is a two-decade CIA man who testified about the corruption of ex-CIA boss Robert Gates under George Bush Sr. Today, Mel Goodman is senior fellow at the Center for International Policy, a professor of government at Johns Hopkins University and a national security columnist for Counterpunch. Professor Goodman, Counterpunch, where I used to write. Well, I kind of write. I should still be writing for it. I got to talk to you about
writing.
Yeah.
There's no time to stop writing.
Exactly. No time, clearly, because of your new president. I blame it all on him. U.S. Secretary of State Rubio is here, scheduled to continuing his Middle East tour. We get strange comments from Trump where policy doesn't match his comments off the cuff, and he says things that are redolent of the previous administration. Just from your insight and years there, I don't know what you think of John Ratcliffe, the new head of the CIA, your old, where you used to work. How far is Trump being undermined from the inside, or is he being more undermined than usual or less?
Well, frankly, I don't feel he's being undermined at all. I feel that he's appointed a group of loyalists who are paying fealty to him. And what really bothers me is they're going out of their way to do things that are just as cruel and just as unconscionable as Trump himself, so they can climb up the ladder of favoritism in the cabinet. And you look at how Secretary of State Rubio, for example, who was confirmed 99-0, which I thought was absurd, he has switched a lot of his positions. He was a big backer of the Agency for International Development. Now he can't wait to take it over. And he's been appointed.
That's a great thing, isn't it? That USAID has been destroyed.
Well, it's kind of ironic that it's being destroyed, because if Trump is talking about creating Gaza as the Riviera of the Middle East, the Agency for International Development would have a huge role, or something like that agency would have a huge role.
Not really. I mean, tell me what you know about USAID. I mean, set up by under the Kennedy administration, because certainly all our lives, as far as I understand it, have been undermined by USAID, whether it be destabilization of democracies. It seemed to me, and from what's being uncovered...
Whoa. AID destabilizing democracies?
Yeah, that's right.
Where are you getting that?
The mass financing of media. I mean, what have you thought about the fact that it seems to be funding media, certainly it was across Europe, and different types of actions to be able to say back
the
proxy war in Russia?
AID has primarily been engaged in humanitarian aid and infrastructure aid, not in the compromising of media around the world.
Humanitarian aid. So explain to me, what do you think of humanitarian aid? Because as far as I understand it, and I traveled quite a bit through Africa and in the global south, US aid is just a soft power way of weaponizing US hegemonic power. And it's usually lethal and leads to the mass killing of millions.
You're buying into a propaganda line that you're hearing, I guess, in the global south that the Russians have been putting out for years. Most of what AID does is humanitarian and construction and infrastructure.
Name me something.
Under Samantha Power.
Yeah, name me one thing.
Well, when I was in Greece, the entire road network was built by AID.
Sorry, where? Sorry, I couldn't hear you there.
Greece wouldn't have a logistics capability without AID.
Okay, Greece. Now tell me what about the U.S.
Well,
support for the Greek colonels?
How about all of Africa? How about all of Africa?
Name a country.
Being done in the health field and the humanitarian
Name one
field.
Country, and I'll tell
South
you why
America.
That was actually to do with destabilizing democracy in that country. The Greek colonels, when you talk about civic power, you're actually talking about...
AID had nothing to do with the Greek colonels? You're focusing on the wrong agency. You're barking up the wrong tree.
So you thought it was the largesse of the United States that went in to go into Greece to help Greek civil society?
No, that's soft power. It's done for influence. It's done for trade-offs.
What is soft power? You worked at the CIA for how many years?
What's the difference between what AID is doing and what China is doing with the BRI?
Sure, I'm not here to defend China. I'm attacking USAID as the whole world has been.
Falsely. You obviously have no idea.
Name me
what
one
AID
African
does.
Leader. Name me one Global South leader who's complaining about Trump destroying USAID when theoretically you'd expect them to be saying, no, we really need this USAID
what
money.
What attention are they paying at all to what Trump is doing? That's the more important thing. Whoa. No attention is being paid. He's doing things that are incredibly malicious.
Let's just stick to USAID because you were at the CIA.
He's such an artist.
How long were you at the CIA for?
Are you going to allow me to speak or not? Are we going to have a discussion or are you just going to interrupt me?
How long were you at the CIA and was your chair, John Hopkins, funded by USAID in any way?
Say that again?
Was John Hopkins University in receipt of any grants from USAID?
Johns Hopkins University? I attended Johns Hopkins University. I teach now at Johns Hopkins University. They don't rely on funding from AID.
There's no funding from USAID.
The funding that Hopkins gets is for its military research components that are located off campus, and they're one of the largest receivers, recipients.
I think I hear that $300 million USAID give John Hopkins.
Who says that?
It's in the USAID files.
Where in the world do you get this information?
It's on the John Hopkins University website. Have a look at it. I think this is the problem with what Trump has done to so many scholars who now realize their research, they're defending USAID because technically you're in the pay down the tubes for USAID. No wonder you're defending it.
I'm not defending USAID. I'm trying to tell you what the factual situation is, and you're spouting a bunch of propaganda. That's all I'm hearing from you.
Propaganda for who? For Trump?
On disinformation sites that are around the world.
Sorry, this is from your university website that the university has received USAID money while the infrastructure of the United States is falling apart, which is, of course, what the Trump administration say, and come to think of it, what the left says in the United States as well. Let's move to his Middle East policy then, and his.
I hope you have more factual basis on the Middle East policy.
Everything I said was true. USAID gives grant aid to John Hopkins University.
The largest money that Hopkins gets from the government that isn't military aid is for research in the medical field. And it's not Johns Hopkins
University.
No, this
is the telecommunications program of USAID.
It's Johns Hopkins Hospital.
John Hopkins Center for Communication Programs is in receipt of USAID money. Now it won't be, so presumably they'll shut down. And clearly, if they're propagandizing for USAID and receiving money for it, probably not a bad idea. Let's go to the Middle East.
You think shutting down AID is a good thing?
It's not for me to think it's a good thing or a bad thing, but it is for me to ask a question as to why on earth the U.S. taxpayer was funding programs to destabilize democracy
all around the
world. You know what
percentage of the federal budget is used by AID?
I'm not even quarreling about the magnitude. I'm saying why is $1 going there?
Just answer the question so I get an idea of, do you know what you're talking about?
If $1 goes there, it's $1 too much. You've seen your homelessness problem where you're speaking. There are 40 million that are on food stamps in your program.
That's not the fault of AID.
There are 40 million in your country who can't eat tonight without federal food aid. And you're telling me it doesn't matter if $50 billion is being given to USAID?
Impoverished situations in Africa. That's what you're telling me.
$40 billion in appropriations, as far as I understand it, is what you're asking me. $40 billion that could be going to feed Americans that go hungry tonight. Okay, and I'm not saying this from some isolationist, you know, in between the war way. It's clear that the African countries don't want your money, from what my experience is after visiting African countries.
I've been to Africa, too, and they are grateful.
Where? Name one country.
Senegal.
Senegal. You've seen what's happened in Senegal.
In
They've thrown out.
A few years ago.
Senegal has just rejected aid.
Subject. I don't think you know what you're talking about. Let's go to an area you're more.
Okay, but the Senegalese government has thrown out U.S. aid and the IMF loans.
But we can't control the politics of Africa any more than China can or Russia can.
What?
So you can't blame that on AI.
I think you just said it clearly because it was soft power.
I think you should look at what Samantha Power did over a four-year period for Joe Biden, and then we can have a conversation.
What do you think of Samantha Power? Tell me about her. What do you think about her?
Well, I think she did her best. I wish she were a little more aggressive, but she tried to hold the organization together when it was under attack before she came into the Biden administration. And she's definitely a humanist. She wrote an excellent book on genocide. I think she has good credentials. Barack Obama took her into the administration for very good reasons. She stands head and shoulders above the typical bureaucrat you're going to see around the world because she has strong feelings about humanitarian aid.
Samantha Power is a cheerleader for the war that is thankfully, coming to an end there. Well, you just mentioned Barack Obama. You must agree the Libya intervention was bad.
Why don't you talk about
something? Did you support the intervention in Libya?
And get off the propaganda.
Well, there's no propaganda. You're speaking up and promoting Samantha Power, who now is under investigation. She's under investigation, as I understand it, for fraud, alleged fraud, because of her personal finances far outperforming her salary at USAID.
Who says she's under investigation for fraud?
I think the implication was there from the Oval Office in the past few days.
You see an implication.
Okay, Barack Obama. Really Samantha Power, obviously, you just said, was taken up by Obama. So Samantha Power was cheerleading the invasion of Libya and the destruction of the Gaddafi government, Africa's richest per capita country. You supported that.
Well, I don't attribute it to AID, and there were
Samantha
other
Power.
Individuals.
No. To Samantha
other,
Power.
No. It was Hillary Clinton. It was Susan Rice. Were pushing Obama, and it was
I think you'll need to look it up. It is Samantha Power. Let's go to.
Biden's doing his best to prevent it.
It is clearly Samantha Power. You don't like Tulsi Gabbard, the new national. Director of National Intelligence.
She's bad crazy. Does that translate into I'm not happy with any confirmation?
Tell me why.
Today?
Tell me why you think that.
Well, her trip to Syria was a very good example of meeting with Assad and then lying about how the meeting was set up and who was at the meeting. She's denied that the Russians were using fighter aircraft in Syria, and she repeated Russian propaganda about the United States providing biowarfare instrumentation to Ukraine. She's gone all over the lot ideologically. I don't know what she really stands for. To turn over the intelligence community of 18 different agencies and an $82 billion budget is just nonsense. And it's just one of the miserable appointments Trump has made. Whether you look at Kash Patel at FBI, or John Ratcliffe at CIA, or Pat Bondi at the Attorney General's office. Lee Zeldin at the Environmental Protection Agency, which will be turned back into what Trump did to it in the first term. It's a disaster.
Professor Melvin Goodman, I'll stop you there. More from the former CIA analyst and now senior fellow at the Center of International Policy after this break. Welcome back to Going Underground. I'm still here with former CIA analyst and now professor of government at Johns Hopkins University, Professor Melvin Goodman. Well, you're saying that you don't like Tulsi Gabbard's appointment by the Senate. I don't know.
No, I'm saying I don't like any of the appointments. I'm just putting Tulsi Gabbard at the top of the list with Kash Patel.
Yeah, but on Tulsi Gabbard specifically, Syria.
My favorite, Robert F. Kennedy, who's going to be running the Health and Human Services, along with Dr. Oz, who'll be running Medicare and Medicaid. These are people who are totally unqualified, and I haven't even mentioned Pete Hegseth, who you started out talking about when this so-called conversation began.
Yeah, and of course it's absolutely fine for you not to like the appointments, but clearly through the way the United States system works, they have to be confirmed by congressional appointment.
And no, they don't have to be confirmed. They can be denied confirmation. And if there was a serious Republican Party, not people like Bill Cassidy from Louisiana, who's a physician and obviously forgot what the Hippocratic Oath is all about, and voted for R.F. Kennedy Jr., whose own family disowned him. So
you're basically saying the United States is rotten to the core.
No, I'm saying the Trump administration is rotten to the core, not the
No,
United
because,
States.
well, yeah, but it has to be confirmed by Congress, and it's clearly a Democratic mandate that Trump and both houses of Congress have. On Tulsi Gabbard, you started off your criticism by saying she went to Syria.
Why don't you add the Supreme Court to that list of what Trump controls?
I know you
Given the
seem to be
fact that
painting
he's
a
not
dismal
elected
picture.
by a popular majority, but had three people he appointed to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, you seem to be painting a very dismal end of
Well,
empire, end of
we're
United
facing a
States.
very dismal situation, and it has global implications. The Gaza recommendation is a good
Yeah,
example
I want to
of
get on to
the
Gaza in a second, but just you made an allegation about Tulsi Gabbard, the new National Director of National Intelligence, saying
What
she
do you
shouldn't
like?
have
What
gone
do you
to
like about
Syria.
Tulsi Gabbard?
You said she shouldn't have gone to Syria. Why should she not have gone to
I
Syria?
didn't say she shouldn't have gone to Syria.
So
It's
what
not
do
what
you...
I said. I said you don't listen. You talk so much that you don't hear what's being said to you. She lied about what happened in Syria. She defended Assad after her visit to Syria. She didn't acknowledge that she met with a terrorist while she was in Syria. That's my problem. I'm in favor of person-to-person diplomacy. I'm in favor of talking to Putin. I'm in favor of talking to Xi Jinping. The conversations with Putin, which Trump started, led to this trade-off of a hostage that allowed the release of Mark Fogel, who shouldn't have ever been jailed in the first place. But you do that by talking. This is something that
Well, she denies she lied.
President Eisenhower understood, and I think it was wrong for Biden to cut off all contacts with Putin and with Xi, essentially, because of Ukraine or because of the threat to Taiwan. We still have to keep talking. We have larger interests with the Russians and China than Ukraine does.
Well, she obviously, Tulsi Gabbard denies in any way that she lied about it.
She can deny
She
every
said
damn thing that she wants to.
she's
It's a
now the Director of
cabinet.
National Intelligence, so she's going to be able to
And I'm
talk about who's
sure
lying and
Vladimir
who's
Putin's
not.
laughing his off at that fact.
On Gaza, do you don't think it's refreshing from Trump that we finally unmask what U.S. policies arguably been to the Palestinians for decades? Biden and Blinken were responsible for genocide. Their names are synonymous with genocide across the global South.
Oh,
Within a few
ridiculous. And
hours of
Trump is more in the Israeli camp than Biden ever could be.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think that can be criticized, that opinion, but he stopped for a while, the aerial bombardment of Gaza, something that Biden and Harris,
Who stopped the aerial bombardment of Gaza?
Donald Trump, for the ceasefire deal.
The ceasefire was arranged because Netanyahu was not left with any targets.
Sorry?
What are they bombing? They're making Gaza uninhabitable. And
No,
that's
but the
why
aerial
Netanyahu,
bombardment stopped when Trump was
that's why,
elected.
let me finish what I'm saying. And that's why Netanyahu was smirking the whole time that Trump unveiled this madness idea that we're going to take Gaza. We're going to kick all the Palestinians out, and Jordan and Egypt are going to take them in, as if the king of Jordan would be in a position to take in hundreds of thousands of Palestinians. I don't think Trump knows anything about Gaza. He knows nothing about the Nakba. He knows nothing about Palestinian displacement going back to 1948. And the entire world, except for right-wing Jews in Israel, are highly supportive of what he's doing.
I don't think anyone can argue against what you
But
said
you think
there,
he's a
but
humanitarian. I
I
guess you
don't
think he's
think
a humanitarian
any. Yeah,
when it
but
comes
he.
to Palestinians.
Okay, yeah,
He
but.
doesn't even acknowledge. Do you know who he appointed as ambassador to Israel?
Mike Huckabee.
Who's?
But I think anyone.
Okay,
I think no one can
whoa,
quit.
wait. Let's stop. Let's stop. I'm trying to gauge how much you really understand. Does Huckabee ever use the term Palestinians? Does he acknowledge the term Palestinians?
No, we
Does
had
he acknowledge
Sebastian. We
the
had
term
Donald Trump's
Palestinians?
deputy assistant on this program. People can watch it on Rumble. He actually said to me on camera, saying there's no such thing as a Palestinian. But I think while no one can disagree with you about that and the influence of Christian Zionism and Zionism on the Trump administration, the fact is that the mask is off. We know what the plan is. And now he's talking about, of course, the ethnic cleansing of Gaza and united the world, arguably, in a kind of reinvigoration of the two-state solution. You don't see anything to be got out of, obviously, what is on the surface, something approaching Nazi policy against the Jews. I mean, if you're taking what Trump is saying at face value, yes, of course it's appalling, but But it's having effects that are not the effects that those supporting it might wish
but
for.
What are the effects that you see that are so good?
Egypt clearly now rejecting a meeting at the White House, al-Sisi. Jordan not accepting the displacement of the Palestinians, the
Egypt
ethnic cleansing.
Egypt didn't turn down the meeting, they just delayed it.
The UAE and Saudi Arabia, both completely against the ethnic cleansing ban, as is the whole rest of the world.
Everyone's against it. Anyone who has any humanitarian sense is against it. It's racism. It's part of the, to me, the genocidal campaign that Netanyahu has been waging since October the 7th.
Yeah, but so you would prefer the cloak on under a person like Blinken rather than the cloak off?
No, you make these false comparisons. I've never supported Blinken as Secretary of State. That's never been my position.
So you see, just tell me what silver lining you can see that.
I'm going to finish what I started saying. And if you want to keep talking while I'm talking, that's fine by me. But no one's going to understand what either one of us is saying. Biden threw in the towel with Israel when he went there on October the 15th and basically gave Israel carte blanche. So you had Arab American communities in places like Michigan, the state of Michigan, the city of Dearborn, who voted for Trump, not realizing that Trump will be worse for the Palestinians than Biden could ever be, because Biden is at least a decent person. Trump is incredibly uncouth and supports the worst of Israeli policy and this idea that I'm going to just take over, I'm going to take Gaza, I'm not going to pay for it, there'll be no U.S. soldiers involved, which means the Israeli Defense Forces, which have been conducting a year and a half of genocidal campaign, will be in a position to do what they want in Gaza. And while he's distracting us with that, the Israelis are playing ethnic cleansing operations in the West Bank. So nothing could be worse for the Arab community and the Palestinian community than Trump's real estate deal. And you have to keep in mind that this was a real estate deal from the beginning. If you look at Trump, real estate billionaire. If you look at his son, his son-in-law, Kushner, real estate millionaire. If you look at the last Israeli ambassador to Israel under the first term, David Friedman, real estate millionaire. If you look at the special envoy, Witkoff, real estate billionaire. So this to Trump is a transactional real estate deal. It has nothing to do with diplomacy, which he doesn't understand. We know that from the first term, the way he handled Kim Jong-un, and the way he dealt with Putin, but he does think he knows real estate. So that's what we're seeing. He didn't discuss the plan with his own advisors. Mike Waltz, the national security advisor, who's in over his head, knew nothing about it. The Secretary of State Rubio knew nothing about it. The intelligence community wasn't briefed on what it involved and what the consequences would be. It was a seat of the pants idea, and he's a seat of the pants egomaniac whose narcissism is going to create problems not only for the United States, but for the entire global community. And I'm sure Putin and Xi Jinping couldn't be happier that they're going to see a diminished America as a result of this administration. So for you to sit there and quibble about what an Obama administration did or what a Samantha Powers did, or your lack of knowledge about AID is meaningless in view of what's happening in the global community today.
So nothing. Can I just say, a lot of people will agree. A lot of people watching will agree. You've had quite a say here. A lot of people will be agreeing with a lot of what you've been saying. They won't agree with you saying Biden is essentially decent. And if you're talking about that in comparison to Africa's richest per capita country, Libya being destroyed, compared to what Trump has done, and saying that Trump shouldn't, you're saying dialogue is important, but at the same time criticizing Trump for meeting Kim Jong-un, and somehow saying that the Ukraine war under Biden was better than the Trump-Putin relations before Biden was elected. Who is Michael Dimino? You like this guy, Assistant Secretary of Defense for the Middle East.
Well, I don't know him, but I've read him, and it was a puzzling appointment because he seems rather rational to me. He wants a lower U.S. presence, less U.S. visibility in the Middle East. He's willing to reduce the U.S. military presence around the world, which involves nearly 700 bases and operating sites and facilities. Russia has two bases in Syria. China has one base on the Horn of Africa in Djibouti. So he seems to make sense to me. I don't know how he slipped through the guardians of Donald Trump and made it into the Pentagon. But as long as someone like Hegseth is the Secretary of Defense, I don't expect anything good to come out of the Pentagon anyway.
Clearly the most important issue, even above USAID, as far as I'm concerned, is resumption of START nuclear disarmament treaties. There is no more important issue facing any of us. Nothing happened.
Who's the arms control expert in the Trump administration?
I'm just about to ask you. Nothing obviously happened under Biden, Harris, Genocide Joe, Holocaust Harris. Nothing happened under Obama. Nothing happened under these people, really.
There was just the Russia hoax. You're wrong about Obama. You don't know your facts about Obama.
Obama destroyed Libya. Did he not destroy Libya? Africa's.
You're obsessed with Libya.
Well, I think Africa remembers it.
There's no argument about that.
Anyway, just tell me what you think there are prospects of reviving. I mean, as far as I understand it, there will be a Trump-Putin meeting. Do you think that there will be any progress on strategic arms limitation that affect every human being on this planet?
Well, I think Trump is opposed to reliance on nuclear weaponry, but I don't think he has the Sitzfleisch, the patience, to work out an arms control position. I was at the SALT talk. I was the intelligence advisor to SALT I. I was in Vienna in 71 and 72. And your audience should understand how much work is involved in getting to an arms control agreement. Trump isn't prepared to do that kind of work. He has no arms control advisor. He has no arms control staff. It's not like the Obama administration that renegotiated the new START agreement to correct what you were saying about Obama and arms control, which unfortunately expires in January or February of next year. What's worrisome is now China is building up to a position that could equal the United States and Russia in terms of nuclear inventory. Nuclear weapons have no utilitarian value whatsoever. The fact that these three nuclear powers are modernizing as we are expanding the way that China is, or threatening to put nuclear weapons in space the way Putin is why the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists has moved their doomsday clock closer to midnight. This is a very serious issue, just like climate control is a serious issue.
Professor Melvin Goodman, we're out of time. Thank you so much, Professor Melvin Goodman.
Thank you.
That's it for the show. We'll be back with a brand new episode on Saturday. Until then, keep in touch via all our social media. If it's not censored in your country, head to our channel, Going Underground TV on Rumble.com, to watch new and old episodes of Going Underground. See you Saturday.